Practice number two of spring ball is here. This is the Podcast Daily. That is Bill Landis, Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. We're going to be back in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center later on this morning. And I have a new game for the Podcast Daily, and we're going to call this one Second Thought Thursday. And what we're going to do, Bill and Berm, some second thoughts. I'm going to get those words pronounced correctly. Second thoughts, second guesses, and some things that you're wanting to get a second look at later on as Ohio State practices for the second time in spring. So what a second thought. What I'm thinking there, Bill, is something that you left on Tuesday, maybe on Wednesday. You were still just replaying what happened in that first practice. Something you saw you couldn't get out of your mind. That's what I'm going for with a second thought.
Okay. it's hard because they're not like really playing football now. Which Ryan Day like went out of his way to make that point several times. They're not really playing football now. But I would like to maybe pay a little more attention to what's like to Luke Montgomery and the guard idea with him, right? I think I showed up on the first day of spring practice, not necessarily expecting Luke to be at tackle, but certainly came into like the totality of spring practice thinking that by the end of it, Luke was probably going to be the right tackle. And Ryan Day seemed like very enamored with the idea of Luke being a guard, which I am not dismissive of, because we go back to the first conversation we had about Luke Montgomery when Berm was talking about him playing center. Like, any position seemed like a possibility for him. But I think just because I was so locked in on the idea of him playing tackle, like, I clocked that he was playing guard, but I didn't watch it very much, like, to see, like, how he was moving around, if there was, like, after hearing Ryan Day talk about it, like, if there's anything that, like, we could glean from what little bit we're able to watch that, like, kind of puts us on the same wavelength as him. So that I'm very interested now in, like, watching just kind of what that looks like on Thursday, even if it's merely just, like, Luke kind of running around and trying to get a sense for what kind of athlete he is and how he's improved as an athlete over his time here. I think that's probably the first thing that comes to mind for me.
Love it.
Offensive line is the first thing that comes to mind for you.
I wanted to shake it up. I wanted to do something different this episode.
That was second thoughts, third thoughts, fourth thoughts. They were all on the offensive line.
For sure.
Wait till you get to the second guesses and the second looks. Those are going to be on the offensive line too.
Smart. I, you know, I like quarterbacks. I'm interested in them. I appreciate what they do on the football field, and I think they're important.
Easy, bud.
Because of that, I really want to spend a little bit more time watching throw by throw for Will Howard and Devin Brown, and even Lincoln Kienholz in a way, because I was pretty impressed by what we saw out of Kienholz in short time on Tuesday. And I know that we've been somewhat dismissive of him as a real viable option as the starter this year. And I want to see if I can move off of that point a little bit, because I know athletically he is probably the most gifted in that room. And I listening to Ryan Day on Tuesday, like, you could tell, I think he was like, all of our guys can move. And so that, I think they want that to be a part of the offense. But beyond that, I want to see if Will Howard calms down a little bit and gets a little bit more consistent throwing the football, because what we saw on Tuesday certainly did not quell the rumbling about maybe Devin Brown has a real shot to win this job. And in fact, I left Tuesday going, well, I think Devin Brown has a like far, like we talked about this a week ago and we were all like 20%, 25%. And right now I would probably be at like straight up 50%. And I'm curious if that's going to change. I doubt it will change one practice to the next. And I mean, Will Howard is certainly not coming into Ohio State known as the most consistent and most accurate passer in the country. He does a lot of other things well, but passing the ball is not something that he had to excel at with Kansas State, you know, snap to snap to snap. So I want to see if getting those first day jitters out makes him take a deep breath and be a little bit more consistent and reliable passing the ball, because if he's not, this next 6 weeks are going to be very interesting.
I'm thinking along the same lines as you, Berm, and it's, we won't get an answer directly from Will Howard about this for a while, because and probably ever, because by the time it would come up again, if you are nervous on the first day of practice at Ohio State, won't be a relevant topic of conversation. But I had asked him about it on Monday. It's like, this is a new thing. It's a new playbook. You've got new teammates. You've got new receivers. Like, do you feel like you're a freshman again and going through all this stuff and like having to work through actual like nerves? Like, you've never been in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center for a full practice with 85 people running around. Like, that's a new experience. And he, you know, he's played in big games. He's won a conference championship. I think it's understandable why he would dismiss that notion that he would have any jitters like that. But I would understand if he got out there and then started feeling them, because I thought that by comparison, like, Devin Brown was much sharper. We talked about that for the last couple of days. And I'm not even, after one day of practice when you don't have pads on, it's not even worth having a quarterback controversy battle head-to-head comparison. Like, Devin Brown was better compared to himself than a year ago, but you can't help but think, well, how does that relate to Will Howard and what is obviously a critical spring for him and what we thought was one that would end with him being Ohio State's starting quarterback? So is that just an aberration? Is it a product of a small sample size? Like, I did think a lot about like how impressed I was with the way Devin Brown practiced on Tuesday morning in the four open viewing periods that we had. And then the logical next point to that is, what does that mean for Will Howard? How quickly does he get his feet under him? How quickly does he get a grasp of the playbook? And do we see strides in that accuracy, even just from one day, Tuesday to Thursday? So if that makes me a simple man as well, that I'm thinking about the quarterbacks, so be it. But, you know, I think Berm is right. He started that off with a really hot take that they are important, and I'm going to endorse that idea. So kudos to Berm for that.
Can't believe you guys are going out on that ledge and suggesting the quarterback play is important.
I know, but
somebody had to hear it.
Spicy podcasting.
There's a lane out there for us to take. We're going to do it. All right. How about something that after one practice, and admittedly super small sample size, something, Bill, that you're second guessing, which may well be what you talked about with the offensive line, but it might not be.
Something that I'm second guessing. No, I don't know that I'm second guessing much on the offensive line. Not yet, anyway. I'm sure I will, because whatever, often what I think turns out to be wrong. So we'll get there eventually. I think I'm wanting to pull back just sort of like generally on quarterback analysis. Like, I agree with you guys. I thought like what I saw from Devin Brown on Tuesday was noticeably better than what we saw from Devin Brown last year. It was like comparing him to nobody else other than himself. But sometimes like you say that, and like to your point, Austin, it comes off as like, I don't know, us like banging the drum suddenly for Devin Brown to be the starting quarterback. And that's not really what we're trying to do. And it just feels especially treacherous, like at the quarterback position, to like really say anything bordering on definitive off the very small sample size that we saw. Even the stuff with like Julian Sain and Aaron Nolan, it's like, did Aaron Nolan have the best practice I've ever seen, or best four periods, I should say, mm-hmm. I've ever seen from a freshman quarterback? No, probably not. Is it too much to say there's separation between the two after watching that? Probably. So like I'm second guessing that stuff a little bit. Like I want to make sure, like, as we're watching snippets of practice as opposed to full practices, that we're like giving guys like the grace period to like work through some stuff, especially on day one. And especially on day one of like your college career, not even the first practice of spring. So I'm going to try to check that, I think, a little bit on Thursday, like not make too much of the best stuff that I see from the quarterbacks and not make too much of the worst stuff that I see from the quarterbacks. Cause I want to make sure that as we're relaying to people what we see, we're being fair to everybody involved.
That's really so nice.
That's the other lane we're going to carve out, like lukewarm, rational moderation.
That actually is a unique lane in sports talk, though.
I endorse that as well. That's also a great idea. Okay,
this is the hottest spring ever. So hot. I am second guessing the idea of not putting Caleb Downs at punt returner.
Let's do it.
I get it that, you know, it's his first practice at Ohio State and maybe you're not trying to do too much, but like, you got to find ways to get Caleb Downs involved. And I actually really like what Jaden Ballard brings Ohio State as a punt returner. I like his like recklessness kind of, which I know feels like the wrong thing to say, but I actually enjoy it.
It doesn't seem like Austin does.
Because he does catch the ball at least, but then he's a little wild with it. And he's got the breakaway speed to, you know, make something happen. But in punt return game, that short area quickness is much more important to me than someone's long speed, where Jaden Ballard really has that that home run speed is in the passing game. And you don't really get to do that as a punt returner until you break through seven or eight guys and then get through the line. But Caleb Downs needs the football in his hands. And I think you have a player like him that's special. You should use him as many ways as you can, not in the Chip Kelly, let's get him on offense way. I understand.
I disagree.
There's only one football, and I don't want it out of the hands of Quinshon Judkins or Travion Henderson or the other guys on the offensive side of the ball. But I do think if people are going to punt the ball to you, and I expect people will because Ohio State's defense should be pretty good, I would like to see them try to find ways to take some pressure off of Will Howard or Devin Brown in the quarterbacks this year by finding ways to be explosive on special teams. And Caleb Downs is an explosive return man and needs to be back there. I don't know why he wasn't. So I'm second guessing that. Whoever this new special teams coach is, he's got some problems.
Get him out of here.
Get him out.
I just want you to be clear about what you're saying. You've watched.
I like a little record from my return man. I do. I like it. Because at Ohio State, you have enough talent to overcome a mistake or two in most games. So if Jaden Ballard drops a ball and the Buckeyes are up 21 points, that's fine. I want to see guys back there that are trying to make something happen. And Caleb Downs is the type of player that will try to make something happen, but then has the athletic skill set to actually make them happen and not just try. So put him back there. Let's see it.
So every time you watched any punt returner in the last 10 years run back 20 yards and try and field a punt over their shoulder, you liked that experience? You not want anything. More of that?
Incorrect. That's not what I said.
A little reckless. A little reckless as a punt returner.
Enjoys when they fumble it. That's fine.
I don't want, if it's a 7-point game and you're backed up inside of your 20 and you're running 20 yards over your head to catch the ball, no, don't do that. That's dumb. But, you know, if you're fielding a punt at the 31-yard line, give it a shot. See what you can do. Like, you go out there and try to, you're a football player at Ohio State. You are one of the most athletic people in the country. Do something with the football. That's all.
I thought on Tuesday, the most intriguing idea to me that I had not considered for that group, since we're deep into special teams and punt returning now, like, why not make Lorenzo Styles Jr. the full-time punt returner and let somebody actually lean into playing that position? Not have, like, I'm not trying to say he can never play corner, but he doesn't need to at Ohio State. He doesn't need to play nickel for Ohio State.
He's not going to this year, so.
Yeah, like, why not let somebody actually commit full-time to that position and become really good at it without having to worry about Emeka Ebuka needing to play wide receiver or Caleb Downs needing to play safety or Jaden Bauer developing into a more complete wide receiver as well or anybody else? Like, I kind of thought that would be a, if Cam Martinez had not transferred, like, he's not going to help on defense, find somebody to just become a full-time punt returner. And I think I'm open to this idea that's probably not going to happen or almost certainly won't, just letting Lorenzo Styles be that for Ohio State. Would you be opposed to that?
No. Okay. I understand your point, but I'm saying you are heading into this season with one of the most complete and potentially dominant rosters in the country and one of the best in the history of Ohio State football. I just want to see some things, man. I want to see an aggression on all phases of the game. I do not want to just see this all the time. Like, it's not my thing.
So I'm second guessing my positing that Josh Fryer needed to spend all of spring practice at guard because I have to, because he didn't start spring practice at guard. And I'm wondering if that's, it goes hand in hand with what Bill was talking about with Luke Montgomery, debuting on Tuesday at guard. But Josh Fryer, I'm wondering if Ohio State feels it's a necessity, because I think we look at this and feel like late in the year, you know, Josh Fryer took some steps back. You know, maybe he started faster than Josh Simmons, and then they flipped by the end of the year. There are a lot of other coaches and media members around the Big Ten who thought highly enough of Josh Freier to give him some awards that are going to, he's going to have forever. They're going to go on his mantle and they're going to look pretty impressive. He did that during his first year as a starter out there. Why not that he is better in his second year at right tackle? Why, maybe myself, me, I was too quick to just move on to the study. Yeah, well, Josh Freier can't play tackle at a high enough level for Ohio State to win a national championship. And maybe that's not the case. Maybe he had a strong enough winter. He has a good enough spring that Ohio State gets to tinker instead at guard instead of tackle. So I don't know what the answer is to that after one day of practice where Ohio State doesn't have the pads on, but maybe I'm questioning the idea that they had to experiment solely at tackle. And then, oh, well, if none of those things worked out, Josh Freier can kick back out there in an emergency. Like, maybe the option is the guy who started there for every game last year is the best one for that. And giving up on him after 1 year starting is premature. So we'll find out, right, Bill, by mid-April, but, or maybe not, maybe it won't be until August, but perhaps I jumped the gun a little bit on that.
Well, I think it's the one thing with spring that I find frustrating sometimes, and like I'm guilty of it and help generate it. So like I'm not removing myself from it, but like we quickly move on from guys who like have some struggles. And like I certainly didn't love what I saw from Josh Freier in the back half of the season at right tackle. But like we don't is it acceptable to allow guys like a little bit of time to show that they can get better, perhaps? Like I've tried to ask myself that question too, because I understand like the urgency of everything at Ohio State is unique and puts everything under a magnifying glass. Like, and I totally understand it. And I also understand that it's like a different conversation in training camp and certainly during the season than it is this time of year. But if the staff and Justin Fry and Ryan Day and Chip Kelly think to themselves, like, we like the idea, the thing we like best about the situation maybe is the idea of Luke Montgomery playing guard. Let's see what that looks like. Let's keep Josh Freier at right tackle. Let's see what that looks like. And it doesn't even have to be the end of spring ball. It can be in the middle of spring practice. And like Ryan Day, I thought kind of like laid that out. He's like, right now we're talking about developing the individual. As we get closer to the end of spring, we'll get more into scheme stuff. We'll get more into chemistry. We'll get more into like trying to formulate how all these pieces best fit together. But right now the focus is just on everybody getting better, whatever that area they need to attack is. Which I think is a fine way to go about spring practice. And for Josh Freier, maybe that brings out something better than what he showed at the end of last season. And maybe it doesn't. And then if it doesn't, you adjust. But like the initial, the reaction to Josh Freier being a tackle on day one was like, I thought just like very strong for the first practice of spring. And it's not to say that you won't be proven, if you felt that way, that you won't be proven right in the long run. You very well could be. But I would hope that we can provide like some space for a guy to like, get back on the practice field, get a little work in, and show that maybe he could actually make some strides to be the kind of player that Ohio State needs him to be.
Yep. I mean, there's still a long ways to go, but it's just practice number two on Thursday in the Woody. So who's somebody, Berm, we'll start with you, that you're wanting to get a second look at after that first practice? Validate some of those early thoughts. And is this for real? I got to see this guy again.
There's one guy who keeps coming to mind, but it's not for that reason. It's I didn't watch him a lot on Tuesday, and I'm really
that's fine. Let's do it.
And it's CJ Hicks. Like, is the light on or not? And is it CJ Hicks time at linebacker? If we were going to do a second round of second thoughts, my second thought would be that I feel much better about the Ohio State linebacker group right now than I did like a week ago. And some of that's just because of the confirmation that Sonny Styles has moved there, like we all have been talking about and asking about since last season, when multiple times in press conferences we're like, hey, you know that Sonny seems to play a lot better closer to the line of scrimmage. And they're like, nope, he's fine just where he is. We're like, okay, then. And so now that he's there, I think that provides some of that relief about the linebackers. But I'm looking at the idea of what we talked about on Tuesday, like using that three linebacker front sometimes with Sonny Styles, CJ Hicks, and Cody Simon, and being really happy about it from an athletic standpoint. CJ, he's so physically gifted that sometimes it's really easy in high school and as you start to you know, become recruited to, for people to be like, oh, you don't need to get better at, you know, the position. But clearly there's a lot more that Ohio State's asking for from their linebackers than just being 6'3" and 240 pounds and running really fast. Like he there's things he was not able to do in his first two seasons. And so I want to watch him more closely on Thursday to just see, like, is he emerging not just as the guy who's there next to Cody Simon because somebody has to be, but is he stepping up and being the guy there because he has to be? And I think that will make or break the defense in some ways, because that it is still the hole that you look at the defense, you're like, well, what about this? And he's a guy that can be a difference maker if that light comes on. And I you know, all of the indications, all the conversations we had with James Laurinaitis seem to indicate that they expect him to take that leap. So I'm excited to see it occur.
That's a good one. Bill?
I did not spend as much time as I wanted to, just kind of watching the defensive line on Tuesday. So I'm in a similar boat to Berm here, where like this isn't someone that I saw and like want to see more of, but people just talking about Will Smith makes me want to make sure I watch him a little more on Thursday. Mostly because like we've had numerous conversations about the importance of finding that third, fourth, fifth defensive tackle. And at least for me personally, every time I've had it, I don't think I've said the name Will Smith. And seems like he should be part of that conversation, I guess, based off.
Well, Bill, we did the whole defensive tackle show to preview spring and never mentioned him.
So we never say his name.
Yeah. Go ahead and put me in that boat too.
Yeah. But it's like, well, cause he was just like out of sight, out of mind for basically all of last year since he got here. Even last spring. And that tends to happen. Like guys just kind of fall under the radar that way. And that's what happened with Will. But, it seemed like from the little bit I did see, even just how guys were lining up, that like he's at the very least like in that mix kind of with everybody else behind the top two to try to fight for a spot. And he was a kid who, like, the thing that intrigues me about him is the work that he put in like after he got his Ohio State offer, which I think people maybe at the time like sort of questioned whether or not he was an Ohio State caliber player. And then I thought like he kind of took it upon himself to like change physically to find another level with his play when he was in high school. To answer that question. And if you're willing to put in that kind of work when you're in high school, I think that bodes well for you once you get to college. So it was unfortunate for him, I guess, that he had a couple injury setbacks last year, but now he's healthy and now he has a spring to show what he can do. So he's another guy that I'm suddenly like very intrigued by bolstering this defense that we all think is going to be very good, but it needs depth. And Will Smith is definitely in that conversation.
Yeah.
His father was very good at football.
His father was very good.
Yeah. That's why.
He sure was. That's a good one. I had that on my list to watch, but I did take notice of that immediately on Tuesday. And I spent a lot of time in the off season, like focused on the tight ends, like I always do. And then I didn't really watch them at all on Tuesday. And you both mentioned like the physicality of Will Kaczmarek and being impressed by him physically. Didn't have the full pads on. We don't know if he can handle all the blocking yet, but he certainly doesn't look out of place physically on the Ohio State roster and competing against the rest of Ohio State's talent out there on the field. But I didn't watch. I saw a couple routes for Jelani Thurman. I didn't see much. Nobody did during that open window, but as much as I wanted to of the tight ends just moving around and making some things happen. So you can lump that whole unit in there that I want to watch more on Thursday than I did on Tuesday. But again, it's Will Kaczmarek, because if we're projecting out, and it seems like he's the one that Ohio State is really banking on to take up the Cade Stover mantle and be the all-around top tight end for this team. You know, I didn't pay it enough mind as much as I had intended to for that first practice. As much as valuable as I think that spot is for what Ryan Day and Chip Kelly want to do on offense, like, you know, maybe it'll be more intuitive or instructive in a couple weeks. Informative and instructive is probably the words that are actually implying there when they get into pads and they scrimmage and can throw the football to them with defenders on them. But he's got to be one of the handful of most important players to watch that we don't know a ton about in spring camp. So that'll be in the spotlight on Thursday for me.
He was, when I was watching him run around on Tuesday, the first thing I thought was like, I can't wait till they put pads on, because like I want to see what this looks like when he gets to hit somebody or people get to hit him too. Like, it's make a short list of guys you're most excited to watch when once they get the pads on and play real football that's like not a quarterback. I think Will Kaczmarek is pretty high up there for me now.
We'll be back out there at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center Thursday morning, practice number 2 of 15 for the Buckeyes in the spring. And we'll have a lot of coverage coming out of that, as we always do on the podcast. We'll have some snap judgments. We'll break that down. We're going to hear from Jim Knowles and a host of defenders. So get ready to change some gears that way to break down the silver bullets. And we'll do that as soon as everything is done over there. Thanks for joining us to start your Thursday on the podcast daily. For Bill Landis and Jeremy Birmingham, I'm Austin Ward. We'll see you later.